you. And Lord, in these days of turmoil, we pray that you would allow us to see your hand, not only in our lives, but also in the future as this world winds down to your second coming. We pray that you would enlighten us, challenge us with your word this morning. And Lord, that you would speak through me, that I would be just the spokesperson, not inserting my own thoughts. Lord, we pray now for your blessing on this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first of all, we'll go into a creation moment. I do have one, and it's kind of interesting. Never thought about it before. It has something to do with pine trees because of Christmas. There's over 115 pine tree species, and pine trees can reach actually over 300 feet in height. Pine trees are famous for Christmas, of course, as they're used to decorate homes. Trees can live for thousands of years. The oldest pine tree is almost 5,000 years old, living still. The tallest species of tree in the world include the coastal redwood, the giant sequoia, the coastal Douglas fir, the Sitka spruce, and the Australian mountain ash. Those are some amazing trees. You know what creation God has made for us. The giant sequoia is not only tall but also wide because of its amazing size. Some believe that the giant sequoia is the largest living organism in the world. Trees produce oxygen and reduce the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. The roots of a tree grow underground, usually, help keep it stable and provide it with water and important nutrients. Water and nutrients travel up the tree trunk, through the branches, all the way out to the leaves. Photosynthesis is the process in which sunlight, water, and carbon dioxide are taken in by the pine tree and converted into sugars and starches to be used as food energy. Oxygen is a waste product of the process and is released into the atmosphere. Chlorophyll is the chemical that makes photosynthesis possible. It's found in the pine needles. It's also the reason that needles look green. Pine trees are able to do the photosynthesis in the winter because the cells in the needles are protected by self-made antifreeze that is carried in by the tree sap. That's what gives the pine trees the distinctive smell. The tree trunk, of course, is protected by an outer layer of bark. The way a tree grows in different seasons can be seen by growth rings in the woods, and that can also determine the age of a tree. Planting trees helps prevent erosion. Many species are suitable for erosion control, roots holding the soil in place, and also the layers of pine needles helping to soften the impact of the rain as it falls on the ground. Besides delighting your senses, the aromatic compounds released by pine trees undergo conversion into aerosol particles. The particles rise into the air above the pine trees, forming cloud droplets. A scientist, Dr. Ian of the University of Helsinki, reports that these aerosols above the pine forest may have a cooling effect that can also help limit global warming. Wood from these trees, of course, is used for a lot of reasons, a lot of different industries, as we well know, and one of which is also heating houses. Pine trees are generally tough plants, tolerant of sun, drought, cold, and wide range of soil conditions. The dense foliage and the branching habits of pine trees provide cover for birds and small wildlife. Young pine trees have branches that extend to the ground, allowing the protection from harsh temperatures, winds, and predators. As the pine trees grow, the branch canopies become higher off the ground with a tall, straight trunk that prevents predators from climbing into the treetops. Pine trees bear woody cones that contain nutrient-rich seeds valued by wildlife as food. It also takes a decade or two before pine trees bear the cones. The seeds attract all kinds of birds and animals, squirrels, chipmunks, etc., and other kinds of birds. You know, when we really understand, or at least we're presented with this kind of information, it is totally illogical to ignore God as the Creator. God is seen in creation, and really, the wise become fools as they try to argue against the Creator, that there is no God. You know, to look at the uniqueness of the pine trees and what kind of things happen through the winter and through the needles, now we know why they're green all the time, because of that which God had created in them, an antifreeze. What an amazing creation God has made. Well, let's just look into the scriptures now as we talk about some more about Christmas. But I want you to go to Luke chapter 2. We read it earlier. Brent read it for us, and verses 25 through 35. It's 1561 in your pew Bibles, Luke chapter 2. You know, Jesus was born, and you know, we sing songs about peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But really, was that the purpose that Jesus, when he came to this world, was that what he was going to bring? I think you'll find that it wasn't quite the case. Peace in our heart, yes, but what about the world? Not so. Let's look at this chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. It says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. He was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ, or the Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.' The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed in the sword, and a sword will pierce your own soul too.'" You know, this is not quite the thing that I would be wanting someone to say about my son when I bring him in for a blessing by the priest or by the pastor of that time. I would really have a hard time with bringing in a child for a blessing from a pastor and have him say, "Your child is going to be for the falling out of Crandon, and the people are going to be speaking against him all his life." You know, I mean, that'd be like the last thing you'd want to hear. But that's exactly what happened here. And now, you know, of course, Mary and Joseph are marveling at this because they're thinking, "Well, wait a minute, though. You know, wasn't this supposed to be a peaceful thing? And wasn't Jesus supposed to bring peace?" Well, let's look at what he says about himself in Matthew chapter 10, 1484, in your pew Bibles. Matthew chapter 10. This is Jesus himself speaking about his ministry and what he has brought to this world. Starting in verse 34, Matthew chapter 10. Verse 34, he says, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You know, this doesn't sound like something we want to hear. You know, when Jesus stands amongst his disciples and other people who might have been standing around, and he says, you know, I didn't come here to bring peace. They go, whoa, wait a minute. And then he says, a man against his father and a daughter against her mother, etc., and enemies will be in your own household. Do you know that prophecy is fulfilled today? Because we look at ISIS and we look at the wars that are going on right now. And we see that individuals are killing their brothers and their sisters, their daughters, their children, their parents. The love has become cold in many people. Just recently, a woman drives off the street onto the sidewalk and mowing people down. What in the world? We think of people who barge into movie theaters and even churches, blazing guns, shooting people randomly. Their brothers, their sisters, their mothers. Children are killing their parents and parents killing their children. What in the world has gone wrong? But you know that in Sharia law, it says that it's okay to kill someone if they're a Christian. In fact, parents are killing their children because they're becoming westernized, they say. And so we find that this is exactly happening what Jesus says. Daughters against mothers and men against their fathers and daughters-in-laws against their mother-in-laws and enemies will be members of their own household. It's exactly what's happening. And you know why? Because of Jesus. That's crazy. But Jesus, when he came to this world, he said, you know what? I'm gonna cause a problem in this world. Because you're going to have to be either for me or against me. By that choice that you make, you're going to have to choose something. And people are choosing. And those who have chosen Christ in the Middle East are paying the ultimate price. Now, the best thing we can do and the only thing we have to do is to keep our eyes on Christ. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Now, I want us to look at another scripture. It's in John. We're looking in mostly the Gospels. John chapter 15, 1643 in your pew Bibles. John chapter 15. 1643, starting in verse 18. And Jesus says this, if the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they would obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name. For they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. You see, this world hates Jesus Christ. Now, why does the world hate Jesus Christ? It's because he brought light into the world. Remember, in John chapter 1, it says he's the light of the world, but the world is in darkness, and the world doesn't want to acknowledge him. They don't want anything to do with him because you ever been in the dark? You know, really dark, dark, and somebody turns a flashlight on and maybe shines it in your face? You know, we got the grandkids flashlights, so when they go to bed, you know, they have something so they're not afraid. You know, and so we'll kind of lay there with them and tell them stories or whatever, and all of a sudden that flashlight comes on, it's right in your face. It hurts, doesn't it? You know, that light comes on, it actually hurts your eyes because you're in the dark and your eyes get used to the dark. Well, the world's in the dark too, and the world is so used to the dark. They're in their darkness and they love it. Well, then the light comes into the world and they don't want it. They go, turn it off, my eyes! You know, they don't want anything to do with the light. But Jesus is the light. You ever been in a room of people who are, you know they're not Christians, you know, maybe they're the drinking crowd or whatever, and you just feel real uncomfortable and they kind of feel uncomfortable around you too? You know, they just kind of like, oh man, you know, I don't. And I've been around people and they find out, you know, they know that I'm a Christian, or they find it out or whatever, and all of a sudden, you know, the language cleans up. You know, and they feel awkward, and they don't know how to act because they don't know. There's a good story about that. Chuck Swindoll, he related a story, and I thought this was the cutest thing. He said there was a guy, and he was waiting for his wife outside the hospital, and Chuck went to visit, and this guy had gone outside to smoke. Well, you know, Chuck shows up and this guy felt self-conscious about it. So he put the sleeve of his coat over the cigarette. Like that, you know, to stand there while he's talking to Chuck. Chuck said when smoke started coming up around his neck, he thought he better leave, you know, stop talking to the guy so the guy didn't start on fire. So, you know, Chuck chuckled about it. I'm chuckling too. I think it's kind of cute. But that's what happens with people. You know, they feel all self-conscious about when you're a Christian or you're a pastor or whatever, and you, all of a sudden you're standing there and they're a little bit awkward about it and they don't feel comfortable. And you know, the world, they don't feel comfortable either when you're around them. And when Jesus, you know, if Jesus was in the world right now, they'd hate him just as much as they hated him back then. Because he brings a light into the world. He puts it in their faith. He shows them. And just like the counselor now, he sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit goes out and testifies about Christ. Well, now, you know how who has the Holy Spirit in them is all Christians. You believe in Jesus as your Savior, and you've got the Holy Spirit in you. And that Holy Spirit is exactly representing Christ. You may not speak the words, but he is also testifying right through your eyeballs to people. And you've had that happen too, where somebody looks at you and say, there's something different about you. I know you're different. And you kind of say, well, yeah, and you might tell them. But you can see that in people that you meet too. Something's different about you. Well, you know, here's something that we need to realize. Philippians chapter 4, 1787, in your pew Bibles, and this is something that we need to take account of, is that where is the peace coming from? Why does the Bible talk about peace when Jesus didn't come to bring peace? Well, he didn't come to bring peace to the world. He came to bring peace to us. And so in chapter 4, starting verse 6 of Philippians, it tells us exactly that. Do not be anxious about anything, because you know, we're in the world's hating us, we're being persecuted, and all this stuff is happening in the world, ISIS and the Middle East, and wars, and rumors of wars, and all this kind of thing is going on, and we're just thinking, man, what's going on? People driving on the sidewalks, people shooting each other, and everything else, and it says here, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And what? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, there's a whole sermon in this, just this scripture alone. And I'm not going to belabor the point, but I want us to understand that, you know, when we think about all the stuff going on in the world, we're going to not have peace. Because we're thinking about all that turmoil, all that problem, all the violence. But it says here, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what does it say? Think about such things. Now, the literal word of think is to dwell on these things. So we're not supposed to be dwelling on all the problems in the world. We're, first of all, not supposed to be anxious about anything. We're not supposed to worry about it. We're not supposed to be stressed out about it. But we're supposed to pray about it. And then we're supposed to think about all the good things, all the things that are praiseworthy, all the things that are the lovely things. You know, think about creation. Think about, you know, all the great things. Family, people who you're friends with, the church, the you know, Christians, Christ, what salvation has brought to you. All those things, that's what you're supposed to dwell on. Not your problems, not the world, not anything else. Even when you're persecuted, you're not supposed to think about your persecution. Because what are you going to do when you're all persecuted and maybe you're in jail and you're all, you know, locked up and maybe being tortured, and you know, all of a sudden it's going to be, woe is me. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Right? That's what we do. Inward focus. We start looking at ourselves and all our woes, and we start getting all depressed. You know, life is horrible. I can't stand it. Why am I here? But that's not what a Christian is supposed to be. In Christ, we're supposed to be conquerors. In fact, Scripture in Romans 8 says we're supposed to be more than conquerors. That tells me that I'm supposed to be on top of the world. Not letting the world bother me. Look at what Jesus did. I mean, people were trying to kill him all the time. He'd slip out of the crowd, go on preach somewhere else. Look at Paul. I mean, he gets stoned to death, beaten, riots all around him, and he walks back into another city, starts preaching the gospel. Why did he do that? Why did he just not say, you know, hey, you know what, I think it's time to retire. I'm going to make tents and, you know, I'm giving it up. People don't want me around, I don't want to be around, so fine. He didn't do that. Something compelled him to preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit obviously compelled him because that's what he was supposed to do. Galatians 5:22 tells us about the fruit of the Spirit. It's a lot of things, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Peace is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Peace is what we should have, even in the midst of turmoil. People are going to look at us and go, how come you're so happy? I mean, look at what's happening. Why aren't you all bummed out? Because I have peace in my heart. Romans 15:13 tells us that we have peace, that it's in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's where the peace comes from. I want us to turn one more scripture. 16:45, it's John chapter 16. John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and starting in verse 32. 16:45 in the Pew Bibles. This is, you know, Jesus speaking again. And verse 31, let's read that too. Because he's talking to the disciples. And the disciples, you know, share, you know, that you know, they know that Jesus came from God. And he says, you believe at last. I think that's something that should come at finally the end. Where we finally get it. Because that's what belief is.
when we finally get it. You know, he says in verse 32, a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Well, in this world you will have trouble. Trouble, trial, tribulations. But take heart. I have overcome the world. You see, it's not based on us. It's not based on the government. It's not based on the Middle East. It's not based on oil prices. It's not based on any of the things that we hold dear in this world. It's based on Jesus Christ. And then once we get that, once we get it, that our peace is not based on what's happening around us, but based on who is inside of us. When we get that, now Jesus should be saying, you know, I hate to say that, you know, okay, Lord, change this around, you know. But we should finally say, you believe it last. Do you really believe it? Because if you believe it, then you're not going to let this stuff bother you. The babe in the manger, when that Jesus baby was born on Christmas Day, or whenever it was, we call it Christmas Day, but whenever he was born, you know, springtime, fall, whatever it was, he was born into that manger. He didn't bring peace. He brought enmity into the world. Because his light now shines in the world. Before, they didn't know. We didn't know. Nobody knew. We were in our sins and we were happy. Like they say, fat, dumb, and happy. We were in our sins and we were happy. We didn't have any conviction. But Jesus came in the world and he brought the light. And now that the light's in the world, now we have a choice. We have to make that choice. To accept him or reject him. If we reject his light, we continue to walk in darkness. But when we believe in him, his light shines through us, in us. And we can have peace. Peace no matter what our circumstances are. Peace no matter what the world does to us. We can have peace. And we can be fulfilled. I pray that you have given him your heart and life. I'd like us to just close in prayer before we sing the final song. So let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you so much for your light. I thank you that I no longer walk in darkness, but I can see. I see exactly what's going on around me. And I know that I'm safe in your hands. Oh, the world will hate me, and the world may persecute me, and the world may even torture me. But you're in my heart, and they can't take that away. And so, Lord, I pray that you give us a confidence in you, that you help us to see that we have nothing to fear, that we are more than conquerors, and that we should walk around with our heads up and held high, and that we should be able to witness and share the truth. No matter what our circumstances are, people should look at us and say, wow, I can't believe you're still smiling. I can't believe that you still are confident, that you're not worried. Lord, I pray that you will build in us your spirit to such a point that it's the power of peace through your Holy Spirit. Nothing will shake us. Lord, I pray now that you give us a special blessing as we leave this place, as we continue on through this week and as we look toward the new year. Lord, if we haven't accepted you as our Savior, Lord, I pray that we would do that now, that we would begin a new year with Jesus in our heart, with the peace that passes all understanding in our hearts. But Lord, we praise you and thank you for that. We ask now that you would bless the service as we continue, as we close. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.